options activity has altered the investment landscape. Get an edge on this massive flow of funds with Tier 1 Alpha's Market Situation Report, brought to you by HedgEye, a daily newsletter of the latest moves in the options market and a weekly webcast featuring myself, Mike Green of Simplify Asset Management, and Tier 1 Alpha's Craig Peterson and David Pegler. Go to HedgEye.com/research for more information.
Hi, I'm HedgEye's founder, Keith McCullough. If you like what you hear, you will love our investing research. We bring transparency, accountability, and actionable investing ideas to investors big and small. I'll put our investing process and team up against anyone in the world. Please visit HedgEye.com to subscribe and learn a better way to invest.
Morning, I'm Daryl Jones, Director of Research at HedgEye. Welcome to Macro Show for February 28th, 2024. Big hat tip to Anthony Crimmins and the boys at Stickstar Lacrosse. Send us a couple jerseys, some hats. They actually sent them a while ago, but I hadn't cleaned my office in a while. And the box was there. I ended the box in this jersey. So I feel like I'm at the draft.
I would say it's episodic and non-trending, Jonesy's cleaning of the office.
Yeah. So Stickstar Lacrosse, if you need anything, go to their website.
Look at the back. Turn. Look at the back of this. Oh, and it's got Jonesy's actual Yale hockey number. And it's, you know, look at that, Jonesy number 3. You
just
know?
A beast. Just a beast.
My kid will be wearing that for in Jonesy's honor tonight. Brunswick against Salisbury in the Elite Eight of prep school hockey from knockout playoff game. So good luck to the team, Mike Kennedy and the boys, and Van Bell, my man, the Canadian coach as well, all the coaches. Let's get into it this morning. Top three things this morning in the notebook is going to be interest rates, the BSM, which includes the broadening, and the BTC. All right, here we go. Rates. All the while, we have this thing called short TLT, and we're higher for longer on inflation. So it's not just milk prices that went vertical in the last month. And again, for most human beings, that's a major problem. But again, who really cares about human beings at this point? We just need to care about Wall Street, as Powell would. Again, I'm obviously not in that camp. But you know, whether it be cotton prices, milk prices, the breakout in oil prices to bullish trend across the board, whether it be Brent or WTI, and now me being long copper, like what are we really talking about here? We're talking about higher for longer on interest rates. So if you believe that, obviously, because the signal does, you're not long of duration and you're short utilities. So that's point number one. We get a big higher low this morning on the 10-year yield in the risk range at 419. If you don't know what a big higher low is, you don't know what big Alberta is. The Jonesy Buds. Okay. Point number two this morning would be the BSM, the broadening, the squeezing, and the mooning. All right. Now, I had fun with the early look note this morning because I was writing in like moonbeam Shibu Inu coin terms or whatever these people do, right? They live in a van down by the river, some of them. Others, it's their life. It's their marketing gig. It is what it is. They blew up in 2022 and now they're back, baby. Fully loaded with no apologies for all the frauds and everything that happened, the deaths, you know. And that notwithstanding, we're long alongside these yo-yos right now. And again, I'd say unprincipled people, some of them, and some people are like, well, they're not. I'm like, bullshit. Sam Bankman fraud, did you hear? But we're along those four things, notwithstanding that all those things in principle still matter to me as a human being. We unearthed that fraud, and we will find the rest of them. That is a major position, though, for us. Bitcoin, Ether, Solana, Avalanche. You can go down the board. The only thing in the Bitcoin tracker product that we're bearish on is Luna Coin. So screw you on that, Novogratz. That was complete bullshit. And you can see him today just mooning on Twitter, as he would, talking about this time is different, blah, 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 blah. No shame. Absolutely no shame. He's obviously trying to sell Digital Galaxy or whatever the latest thing is there. But he himself says, look, I sell people stories. He doesn't sell people principles. Are you kidding me? That's HedgEye. So again, you'd be a seller of that. Anything, really. Don't forget that when you see the broadening rally go into small caps, IWO, which we added, of course, last week when it was down, that small cap growth, which was up 1.7% yesterday versus the Russell, which was up less than that, even though the Russell was up, like we care. We only care about our positions. We're selfish bastards when it comes to that, and we're not pumpers. We don't need moons and pumps to get stuff to work, but they do. Some of them do. They've obviously admitted that. We see a broadening of the breakout in the CRB index. That's 19 commodities. That would suffice as a breakout in inflation expectations. You can see that taking it all the way back to the top thing and the top three things, which is, of course, interest rates and those. Very top three things. Lots going on. The bear squeeze basket yesterday, Goldman Sachs Prime Brokerage, where they look at all their clients' shorts. They have this most short rolling basket. That yesterday, talk about squeezes, was up 4.7% on the day. We weren't getting squeezed. Nope. I'm a lot of things, but not somebody who doesn't listen to my signal. So again, we have a signaling process to not get squeezed. For those of you that have been subscribers since 2021, when we were long GameStop, I used to call it GabeStop. Shout out to Gabe. This isn't fundamental to these people. They don't understand it yet because they have not evolved their game. They've not evolved their process. They've not upped the probability of being more right than wrong and upped the probability of not losing a lot when they're wrong. Okay, so we're much more aligned with like real coaches, real teams, real championships than all that. Don't forget, Bill Walsh, for those of you, it's free access week. So, again, I want to come right back to one of the best books I read in three arenas, as Gendron can show you on the left side of a Sierpinski gasket, which is a fractal pattern. I have three big concentration areas of reading versus what they do. They do it's feels or it's different this time, Novo, et cetera, et cetera. I do math, history, and behavioral, okay? So this is a behavioral book. It's the best coaching book I've read, and I've read a lot of them. And I highlighted this morning in the early look where I just used his words. Now, just think about this within the context of your process. Your process. Oh, it's free access week. You don't have a process. You just watch TV. Okay. A lot of people want that. Shortcuts, moonbeams, laser eyes. That's the whole thing, right? HODL. You don't have to do any work. It's a shortcut to richness, right? That's not what we do. It's hard work, right? Now, in his eyes, and again, he started literally the book with a quote that says, "To succeed, you must fail." Now, until I see a bunch of people admitting how much they failed in crypto in 2022, I don't care what they say. They don't even have real names. Yesterday, last night, I was tweeting at a dinosaur with laser eyes. Okay, so what I care about is you and I and my family and yours. And he said, Bill said, Bill Walsh, and apologies to those of you that aren't 49ers history or history fans. I would never write anything that suggests the path to success is a continuum of positive, even euphoric experiences. That if you do all the right things, if you want everything at the right valuation, if you want everything like that has laser eyes on it. Everything's going to work out. Frequently, it doesn't. You get it, right? That's life. So let's have a solution for that. Have a resolute and resourceful leader who understands, you're stuck with me on that, that understands that there are a multitude of means to increase the probability of success. It's about increasing the probability of success. It's not about guaranteeing success. It's not about having conviction in success. It's not about being Shibu Inu with the coins and the tats. That's bullshit, right? And that's what it all comes down to. Relentlessly seeking solutions that will increase your chance of prevailing in a very competitive environment. Do that, and the winning will take care of itself. I think we've proven that. We've done a lot of evolving here. Right? We have monthly quads now. Our signal's much more tied to that on a shorter-term basis. We've given you all of our positions in my portfolio, my long-only portfolio solutions. Now, this week, we introduced signal strength stocks to get you away from, well, Brian sounds like he really likes that one. Well, isn't it better if Brian sounds like he likes something, Brian McGough, on BYON, which has gone moon since he went bullish on it, and he's going to have the company on Friday for Hedgeye Retail Subs on Hedgeye TV with Mark Cahotes and the current chairman of BYON. It'd be great, but that's not how the modern machine works. The modern machine also considers the signal, the flow, and the fundamental, right? Fundamentals don't always trade on the flows. The flows don't always trade on the fundamentals, okay? Now, people that have not acknowledged this, that ran hedge funds alongside me, that are my peers, they don't run hedge funds anymore because they can't. Their investors have said, you can no longer play this game, hence the family office. Right, so there's a lot to do here, and believe me, I've screwed up any way that you can publicly with a timestamp more so than anybody in the history of Wall Street. Because guess what, Wall Street doesn't give you timestamps. They don't give you the process. Are you kidding me? If they have a process and no timestamps, they're not going to be dumb enough to do it every day in front of you like I am. Okay, so you can at least trust, and I'm transparently and accountably going to be here, trying to get you better while I try to get myself better, and together we're going to get better. All right, so that's the whole point every day. Get better, right, Jonesy? The product launch schedule that we have this year is just giving you right down to the screws every single thing that I would buy or sell and in real time. Okay, S&P 500, by the way, yesterday we bought Wynn. I would have bought Wynn Resorts, WYNN, and Clorox. What do those have to do with anything or Shibu Inu coins? Nothing, right? Okay, have diversification. That shouldn't be a wild and crazy concept as opposed to bag holding or hodling. 49.60, Jonesy, is the loan of the range today. That's a BHL. That's a big high or low. And we have the top end of the range at 51.25. Now, there's a lot of risk associated with the market on a very short-term basis that we discussed. This would be 0.9% versus the close, but it would also be a higher all-time high. Higher all-time high, okay? That's the most bullish setup that you can have. It was the same setup and still is the same setup for Bitcoin itself. Top end of the range on that today is 60,775. So again, actually, Bitcoin doesn't have higher all-time high. They wish it was going to higher all-time high. A lot of these people are still bag-holding what they bought at the all-time highs years ago, right? Again, we're not. We don't have to deal with that. It bothers them so much, that they can't even talk about it. They can't cope, in their words. They can't hold the chart that we posted yesterday with diamond hands and say, wow, if I could have, I would have. Look at that chart on Bitcoin. The history of our signal on Bitcoin? Really good. And that's for one of the things with the most volatility in the history of anything. Okay? Now, we have other things where we batted 100% on it. That we didn't, but I say that suffices, and a lot of you have said thank you for that, and we appreciate it. We also thank the gods, the fractal gods, of course, Floki. What else we got going on for you this morning? Looking underneath the hood, still have not been able to close at a new all-time high in the NASDAQ, but I think that'll happen in the coming month, because the top end of my range is 16,198. Top end of the range on this is 5,125. No, I don't think it's going to happen today or tomorrow yet, and if that changes intraday, I'll just say that too. Yesterday, I thought I was going to be a seller on the open. I ended up being a buyer. I shouldn't really think ever, because it doesn't matter what I think. It's what I do.
Just out of curiosity, what made you go from thinking you're going to be a seller to being a buyer? I guess price, right?
Number go up.
Yeah.
That number went up and that number went up.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, beta go up. IWO, it's signaling higher highs. I'm long that. Pink, all the ETFs. We have 16 U.S. equity ETFs. They're all signaling
pink,
go up.
Pinks have had a good run here.
Now, we can have a correction, no doubt, in and out of the PCE number or not.
It's feeling too easy.
I mean, look at the curve. Look at short-term vol right now on the calendar. It's at 11.5. Okay? That's pretty low. This is going into PCE tomorrow. Come on, Jenner. Pop it up there. The calendar. See that? Can I draw on that? Right. They're looking, I mean, the street, this is, again, this is what matters, is what, not what people say the market's positioned for or how bullish or bearish people are with these stupid surveys that they do. It's what is the actual positioning, okay? So they're looking for a little pop here on the PCE number. 11.5? I mean, let's try like 13 out here. 15, which is more so inside of 16, is the top end of my risk range on the VIX. So, yeah, again, I do think that whether you look at that or you look at implied volatility across different factor exposures, again, the way that I look at this is that utilities is a very good short on the open because it was up yesterday, utilities on the bongo board. I mean, 9 out of 11 sectors were up. But as you can see here, and I'll draw on this one too, Jenner, on the implied vol table just so people that are new to this excuse me, can read it. And again, I don't read people's narratives. I don't read notes from... I'm not going to say who, but you know, I don't read. I just look at numbers. I mean, that's a lot easier for me to do. I'm more right when I do it, so I do it as frequently as I can. But the way to read implied volatility, this when these things are negative, they're called discounts. That means that there's complacency. So when you look at that utilities number, in particular here, this thing, XLU, this thing's a minus 23% implied vol discount. A month ago, that was a 73% premium. When you have a premium, that means you're buying puts, you're buying protection. When you have a discount, you're like, I'm not so interested in that. So a lot of people are, I mean, that is quite complacent. I mean, think about Google. I mean, it's very complacent. I mean, it just broke trend. Now, before going into earnings, people weren't complacent on Google when it was breaking down into earnings and then it went straight back up. They're buying the crap out of the protection. Now they're not buying the protection. Every single one of these things, before I talk to you, many hours before I talk to you, I already know that. Oh, that makes me big time, doesn't it? Back padding. No, it's the job. It's the job, right? So for Captain Hedge Fund Manager out there who's all hot and hot and not horny for me, gets all upset when I say that you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, it's because we're trying to get people, the other people who want to evolve, to the place that they can. Okay, so again, this is a really obvious setup to short one, the only, first of all, U.S. sector equity sector style that we're short, which is utilities, and that's how I saw that. What else? We got the flip line. Now, the flip line on Tier 1 Alpha Gamma, which if the market trades, and Craig spent a good amount of time, Craig runs Tier 1 Alpha and generates the data, you know, there any he said, look, this 50-50 to 50-60 zone is really important because it's below. It's how the market acts. You know, currently you call essentially gamma at a neutral spot, especially if you use where futures are trading, which I wouldn't do anyway. But anyway, let's just do it for the sake of the argument. If you're below 50-64, it's how the market acts in that particular moment, as Mandelbrot would say, that particular moment of market and cycle time at 50-50. 50-50 is where there's a ton of options activity, and that's how Tier 1 builds their probability band. So again, paying attention to that really matters, and dealer gamma has mattered when it flips. So if it flips negative and starts to go down faster, that would be unlike what I've been doing recently, which is buying every damn dip when dealer gamma was positive. That's what you do. I'll wait and watch. So again, it may mean that I was too early on buying Wynn. It may mean I was right on time. We'll have to see. You know, these things trade, as we would say, idio. There's idiosyncratic outcomes to Wynn that don't have to do with U.S. equity beta. Call it China factor exposure. So again, China factor exposure is something that I want to be net long of as opposed to at least neutral of having been bearish on it for a couple years now. With fits and starts of going bullish, but the signal got us out every time. What else we got going on for you this morning? China was down last night, but it didn't break trend, so that's important. 29.57 was the close on the Shanghai Composite Index. 29.41 is trend. How about that South Korean signal for the fam? Right, we put that in there in real-time alerts. We bought the Philippines, we bought South Korea, which is EWY, and the KOSPI, which is, of course, the South Korean index, was up 1% last night. Now, that's going to offset some losses, finally, that we take, or losses of gains in India, because it was down just over 1%. So we're 2-for-3 last night with the Philippines and South Korea being up, 2-for-3 on Asian equity asset allocation. So if you have friends that are still in the old wall 60-40 portfolio, bag holding, or still kind of hoping that their Luna coin actually goes to 75 cents, yeah, you know, good night and good luck to them. We're on our way. Right? We got our own things to deal with. Let them do that, all right? You know how people just deal with their own shit? Just let them deal with that shit. That's stupid, right? I mean, we're gonna keep pushing it forward, keep pushing the process. What else we got going on for you this morning? We could get an opportunity to buy the Dutch, EWN, which is our favorite European equity long position. We have some new ones that we could add today, and you'll see that if I add them to Portfolio Solutions. Spain is still bullish trend, by the way, so I won't be shorting that yet. If it goes back to bearish trend, then I'll go back to shorting it. It's called the signal. What else we got going on? I already talked about the broadening of commodities. Which include the prices of milk up 7% a day, 13% a month, cotton prices up 23% a month, and oil signaling another big higher low this morning at 76.16 on your pin sheet. If you didn't notice that, you should have. Buy copper. Did I say that? I will today if I get it at the loan of the range. 382 is trend for copper, just FYI. That's bobbing and weaving a little bit. Don't forget that the trade and trend lines change as price, volume, and volatility does. What else we got going on for you? What's the big call? We don't do that. That's stupid, right? If that's what you're looking for, somebody to make a big call, get them to execute on their process. Get them to execute don't tell me about Jerry Rice having a... Jerry Rice had a 4.6. He ran a 4.6. Scouts, the powers of the old wall equivalent of powers of B in the NFL thought he was slow. But Jerry Rice perfected every route. When you weren't watching at 4:30 in the morning, he'd be running in a park. He'd be running 12-yard routes by himself. No ball, no passer. Do you think that people get to be really good at things in life that you really appreciate by just getting there? No. So I want to inspire you to get there. I know some of you are lazy. Yeah, some of you aren't. Some of you aren't, but you're not as talented. Yeah, hard work beats talent. When talent don't work hard, I think John McCullough told me. Right? And I've had to live that. Look at me. Not very talented, not very smart, not very tall, not very skinny, but I can execute. Oh, yeah.
Robert McGrory here, Director of Subscriber Development at HedgEye. Hope you're enjoying our podcast. Start generating alpha with our suite of Sector Pro investing research products. Dive deep into retail, industrials, technology, and everything in between with exclusive access to the sharpest analysts and actionable ideas on Wall Street. Go to hedgeye.com/research to subscribe. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
A multitude of means to increase the probability of success. That's what we're trying to do. All right. What else we got? We got a dollar position that's working for us today. Can you say I'm long dollars and laser eyes at the same time? I hope you can, because they're just positions. 103.57 is a higher low for the U.S. dollar index. That looks good going into the PCE numbers as well. Again, as a reminder, and by the way, this is a new negative thing. Correlation on the S&P 500 relative to the dollar is no longer positive on a very short-term basis using our trade duration, in this case 15 days, 0.61 negative, Jonesy, on that. That's new, so we'll just call things out that are new. The other thing that was new yesterday, of course, is that the economic data is not accelerating. There's that. You know, durable goods. Look at the chart. It's a pretty big thing in our economic nowcast or in how you calculate GDP. So for those of you that say, oh, you thought the economy was going to slow and you didn't. Now you're long. What the? Moving monkey. Don't. Whatever. You can do whatever you want, right? It's free access week. If you're already on tilt because I did that, it's okay. There's a difference between being right on the economic cycle and being right on your market position. We absolutely fucking nailed the economic cycle on this part. I didn't know what AI was going to do. I'm not that guy. I'm not smart enough, right? But I'm long AI. Smart enough to do that. Listen to the signal. But on the manufacturing cyclical side of the economy, durable goods is a major report. It's down 510 basis points, which laser eye dude or the moving monkey probably doesn't know what that means, but to a negative recessionary number on durable goods yesterday, a 42-month rate of change low. Plenty of things slowed into a recession. In the case of the Russell 2000's earnings, of course, it's a depression. As of this morning, 1,209 companies, Jonesy, have reported negative 29% earnings growth. That's a depression. We had that wrong in the Russell. We thought it'd be a recession. It's a depression. Let's take some questions.
I guess...
Well, and by the way, the signal on the Russell's back, it's bullish. So oh, okay, can you handle both? That the market discounted the two things?
I'm still bag holding it, so that's good. one caveat on durable goods, although it doesn't really change it too much, but obviously aircraft was a complete disaster. Boeing had three orders. But even if you back that out...
Well, why do you back it out? It's part of the economy.
Yeah. Well, just because...
If you back out AI...
Maybe you don't back it out, but some months it's high. But even
AI could be completely bullshit. Why don't we back that up?
Even despite that, I was going to say it was still down month over month.
So. It was still down.
Yeah.
But Boeing's still a bad company and did bad things.
Yep.
And people that are employed through that supply chain or directly by Boeing are slowing. Right? So that's why we put it all into the model at the same time and come up with our conclusions and still have the sobriety and the objective nature of the process to increase the probability by going with the signal on where the economy goes next. As we've said multiple times, slide 64 in the current macro deck. The months of January and February, from an economic data perspective, had the toughest comparisons or base effects economically that you're going to find. And this is in particular on consumption growth. We've already seen the retail sales number be a complete train wreck for the month of January against those numbers. So the market's saying to the bears, I already see those numbers. It's going to be March this week. It's not January and February. And you see how those base effects get easy into April. And, of course, that's when we have Quad 2 coming after that in May.
Okay. This is, I think a lot of people are thinking this. This is also somewhat of a personal question. But I want to talk about Bitcoin and Ethereum, you know, how to think about it here. Obviously, Bitcoin, I was just looking, is past 60,000 now. Yesterday, we talked about selling some. I didn't. And, you know, one reason I didn't on Ethereum is... I actually have a really good gain in a short period of time. And so, and I think a lot of people think through this too. So I'm sort of like, well, it's a short-term capital gain. So there's big taxes on that. But at the same time, you know, if it goes down, you know, you won't have any taxes to pay anyway. But, you know, thinking through, I guess, what to do with these things here from here, I assume, you know, when you have these exponential moves, the top end of the risk range just keeps going higher.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, the answer, my friend, is not blowing in the wind. It's in. You're not an active trader like I am.
Yeah.
I don't know what your minimum position is, but I certainly would never violate that on mine.
Yeah.
So, again, when we have a minimum and a maximum position in a commodity, anything that is crypto, we consider a commodity by virtue of not some religious studies or white paper, by its volatility, the nature of the thing that trades. If it has high volatility, I have a lower max. If it has high volatility, I have a lower min. If it has lower volatility like bonds, I have a higher max. Higher min. So on something like, let's do ETH or you can do BTC. Let's say that, you know, on the buying opportunity last week, my max position, Jonesy, on these things is 4%. Right? My max is 4%. So if I had those two on and I went to 8%, if I was aggressive, which I didn't go to 8%, but I definitely took it up, and then my minimum is 1%. So if I go 1% here, so 2. So my asset allocation between those two things is going to oscillate between 2 and 8%.
So you're always in the game, and then you're taking profits.
If something goes up 10% and I have a 2% position, I made 20 basis points is a lot in most people's portfolios.
Yeah.
Now, most people who do this professionally, most people who need this to get out of the van down by the river, no. But for me, yeah, right? And now you're insulted if you're in a van down by the river. I had to work my ass off to get out of the van down by the river. I lived that way, right? Yeah, got to work. Got to work really hard. And if your minimum is 2% in each, do that for you. If you're younger than me and you don't have four kids, a dog, and a bunch of people that work for you, then make these minimums higher, Jonesy.
Yeah.
You know, I move in and around my min and my max a lot. That's the whole point of introducing Portfolio Solutions was, okay, the people in the vans down by the river, the people that live at the Venetian up top because they're big time, whatever. I just got to show them what I'm doing. Because as soon as I show them what I'm doing, they're going to understand faster because evidently when you articulate it, they just can't compute as well. But I think that's the answer. It's always going to be the answer.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to go broke with a 2 to 4% position in crypto today because you sold some yesterday. Right? If you sold some for the last 2 days and this position here went to 2.5% and this went to 2.5%, you have a 5% position that just went up another 10%. That's 50 basis points of capital. On my pile, I can tell you 50 basis points of my hard-earned capital going up in one thing, in one day, is a shit ton of money. All right? Now, if it's not for you, I'm not big-timing you. But that's the point. I don't have to take a 25% asset allocation in Bitcoin to be satisfied. And I think that's what makes this personal.
Yeah.
Is that that's personal. Right? If you live in a van down by the river, you're pissed.
It'd be a pretty simple way to live, though. Ever thought about it? I mean, obviously you have a family, but like, you know, like just live on a boat or live in a van.
Yeah, you're
like
I'm listening to a guy who's single, of course, but I'm not. No, I can't do that.
Okay.
I've thought about that. You know, everybody thinks about divorce. Yeah, yeah. She's probably wanted to divorce me like monthly for 15 years. I mean, it's what it is.
I don't think you hit on this morning. I was taking some notes, but we had actually a question yesterday on XLE and XOP, I guess another, you know, derivative energy plays. Given that oil is moving, you know, what are your thoughts on those?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do the same because again, this in Hedgeye Nation understands the again. If you didn't take how many minutes does it take to go through Hedgeye University? 60 to 90. Genron?
90, but we're looking to shorten it a little bit, make it a little more bite sized for everybody.
Imagine that you want to go. You want to go play in the NHL with 90 minutes of training, but you really can't do it because you got to go watch some Netflix. I can't help people that can't help themselves, right? But if you've done the work, you understand min-max, portfolio construction, sell at the top end of the range, buy at the low end of the range. If you don't get that to start, again, can't help you. But if you can be helped, you can be coached, again, let's use the same thing. So let's go by asset class, Jonesy. Let's use the two examples that you're talking about. Let's go with the mins and the max. By asset class, okay? Now, we'll have, at the very top, we'll have FX. That's the biggest position that I can have. We'll have fixed income here. We'll have equity here. We'll have CRB or commodities here, okay? My minimum, we just did the commodities. What was the minimum in my commodity positions? 1. What's my max? 4. So, on something like, for example, we're currently long gasoline, UGA. My minimum position, which as soon as I put it in the portfolio, it comes in at my minimum, okay? Minimum position, so then 2 days later, UGA, which was at the low end of the range, it wasn't yesterday, I add 50 or 100 basis points. If I added 100 basis points, it's now a 2% position. It can max out at 4, right? Every day, my hard-earned capital has a choice.
Hi, Robert McGrory here. Director of Subscriber Development at Hedgeye. Join our entire research analyst team live before the market opens for a deep dive investing analysis, our favorite stock ideas, and our risk manager-in-chief, Keith McCullough's macro overlay. Our team of 40-plus equity analysts discuss key market developments, trends, and our high-conviction long and short investing ideas. You will not get this granular level of insight anywhere else. A video replay, audio version, and analyst summary notes from the call are available shortly after each live show to ensure you don't miss anything.
Go to hedgeye.com/research to subscribe.
And tune in live to the call weekdays at 7:45 a.m. Eastern. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
Can we get Tony Robbins in here? Like, what a motivational thing, right? What an empowering thing. To be able to decide across asset classes that your hard-earned capital doesn't have to bag, hold, or hodl one thing, right? Now, on stocks, equities, my minimum position on stocks, let's do this one in blue, 2 and 6. So if we take something like, so this one we did UGA, that's gasoline, but you asked about XLE, right? So if I get energy for sale at the low end of my range, the first position I take is 2%. Then if it's down 2 days after that, I add 50 basis points, 100 basis points, I get to 3%. Right? The hardest thing to do for me, because I'm relatively conservative, is get to my max. That's one of my deficiencies as a human being. I don't get to my max mainly because I don't have to. Right? So yesterday I bought 100 basis points of South Korea. Right? So EWY would fit in here. EWY is now closer to a 4% position. But I'm not at max yet on South Korea. I didn't work my whole life for 25 years now to go max yesterday on South Korea. I don't have to do that, right? But this is the way the positions move, Jonesy. So again, this one, XLE, I don't own. This one I didn't own 3 or 4 days ago. Now I'm already at 4%. Yeah. So I am pushing myself a little bit more aggressively, but I am doing that because a lot of the things down in this part of my portfolio have gone moon, right? BDRY, yesterday was better than Bitcoin. I mean, that's shipping. Okay, BDRY, I consider that.
I can't believe just to digress, I've heard you talking about BDRY for probably 3 weeks now, and I'm like, it's up. I'm not going to buy it. It's up.
Well, you shouldn't buy it. You should buy it when I buy it.
Yeah.
If you don't have the discipline to frickin' open the email see when I buy it, then you don't deserve to own it.
At least I had the discipline not to chase it when it was
up. Well, that's good. Yeah. But think about it. Yeah. Who's more disciplined? Be honest, me or you?
I'll give that one to you.
Yeah. I know. It's a leading question.
Not in everything, but in a lot of things. Like, I think your daily structure is way more disciplined. Yeah.
Who's more likable, me or you? You, right? I mean, who's? Most people.
Who has better hair?
Was this guy the most liked coach? Was Tim Taylor our coach? Did everybody like him?
That's an interesting question.
Not everybody likes him.
I really like him.
You know who doesn't like a good coach? Uncoachable player, unaccountable player, whiner player. That's who I see, right? Jonesy's seen it happen where I've held some players like that on my team to account. But this is discipline. This is rules, discipline, patience. These are words that have to be embedded in what you do every day, or you just deserve to lose money or miss opportunities. Jonesy said, I missed an opportunity. Okay, that means that you didn't get in Portfolio Solutions, he probably opened it that day because he sends out the email, which makes it even worse, that you sent out the email.
Well, no, yeah, but for me, it's also a little bit of, okay, like, let's say I have 15 positions or whatever, right?
So there you go.
I'm a little, to me, if I have 25 or 30, it's just too much for me. Like
It is. So that.
It's a simplification.
That is a very good answer. It's not random. It wasn't the lazy answer. Yeah. It wasn't you weren't paying attention.
In my mind, I'm like, I got to take something out, but a lot of this is working.
You're like, in my hard-earned capital, I'm willing to, Jones, you just said it. Have you ever had 20 positions, maybe?
That's probably the most.
Yeah, I'll have upwards of 30 to 40.
Yeah, I'm sort of like 7 to probably 18.
And your positions are generally larger than mine.
Yeah.
Right?
But I would, but to me, like, in equity, I would be larger, but, it may be similar in the sense that you'd have more positions, but maybe I have 2 equity ETFs, you have 5, right? So it's sort of something like that.
Yeah, that's how, and I get that too. That is a difference.
Yeah.
But it's a known. So my portfolio will have generally have a lower volatility than most portfolios because it diversifies across more positions. Okay? So how many of you know what your volatility adjusted return is on your portfolio? Do you know that that defines the difference between how much hedge fund manager A is going to get in terms of a pension fund allocation versus B? Risk-adjusted returns matter a lot. Like,
Do you know what the difference is between having 20 to 50 or 80% drawdowns in your portfolio once every however many years and not? You should, because that makes it go back to the starting point, yeah. Right?
It's actually a big reason some of the pod shops have really been accumulating assets. You know, they'll underperform in a big up year, but in general, their volatility is lower, right?
Yep, that's it. One other lesson I just want to follow up on yesterday. I think it's a real good opportunity for those of you in particular that don't like me to like the process. And for those that like me, it's not about liking the coach. It's about understanding what the coach is saying. And let's be clear, a lot of you don't understand all the different things. I don't understand a lot of what you're asking me about. So we're trying to find the communication or, you know, really bridge the communication gap. So yesterday I gave you what people tend to understand is where the Mag 5 are trading, or they think it's still the Mag 7, but now it's actually the Mag 4, right? So now we have the Mag 4 because Google broke trend, okay? So there are only four stocks that are currently signaling bullish trade, bullish trend in the Hedgeye Momentum Tracker and or in the Risk Range product. The number one signal strength stock out of all these has been the one that our analyst doesn't like enough, Netflix. In fact, I think he's bearish. I ask him about it all the time. I'm like, when are you going to change your mind, right? So, yeah, that's an opportunity for Andrew Friedman. Like, if you would have been long Netflix and not long Roku, you know, that would have been great. And he's coming off a great year, and I want him to get better, so I'm going to ask him those questions. Because God didn't call and ask me to ask Andrew that. Signal strength is a mathematical definition. It's a fractally oriented definition, okay? So that's number one. Number two is Amazon in terms of signal strength. Again, what these mean, when you have strong signal strength, SS is positive. That means you're positive on both trade and trend, and you're likely signaling higher highs and higher lows, okay, in the risk range, right? What else we got in here? We got the ones that have lost signal strength. So Microsoft is still positive, bullish trend, and so is obviously NVIDIA. NVIDIA, these things are all close. These three are bullish, signaling higher highs and higher lows. And the least strong now, all of a sudden, this is new this week, is Microsoft, because it's actually signaling a lower high, which is not a higher high. You can see that in the risk range today. You should have seen Microsoft, because you just wrote it down or you're paying attention. Again, if you're not paying acute attention, do you want your doctor to be that way? Feel all this part of your neck and miss the lump that's there because they just decided to miss it? Is this allowed in any other profession where we're dealing with very serious things? No. I'm very serious when it comes to this, when it comes to my own money. And if it sounds overconfident, you're missing the point. The point is to be surgical about this. These four, the Mag 4, are what they are, and Microsoft is the weakest of the four. Okay? Now, the newly weakest one is Google, because it's bearish trend for the second day in a row, or going on the third. And, of course, we have Apple and Tesla, which remain bearish trend, despite the bounce in Tesla. So, again, if all you know is that, because a lot of people, that's all they talk about, that's CNBC talks about NVIDIA 80% of the day, right? And it's part of the SPMO position that we have. It's part of the XLG position that we have. These are longs, all right, asset allocation. But we don't do that, right? This is an entirely different process. There is no process on CNBC other than marketing, right? So advertising, selling, getting you to buy other people's stock. Wall Street's in the business of selling you stock, okay? I'm in the business of taking your hard-earned capital and finding a way where you can risk manage it on your own and or just copy what I do, okay? Now, I'd go with the latter if you have no experience and see how that goes, see what you get right or wrong. Again, start with getting things wrong. To succeed, you must fail, right? If you can't start just understanding that you're going to make mistakes, then you're never going to learn from them. So, lots there.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Tomorrow we have Michael Bloom on with Keith, and today at 1 p.m. I'm doing a free webcast with Rick Abeda, who's an old friend of ours and started a new investment product. Hope you can join for that, and have a great day.
Don't forget to check out Hedgeye.com to get more actionable investing insights from our team of more than 40 research analysts. and check us out on Twitter at our handle, @HedgeEye. This presentation is informational only. None of the information contained herein constitutes an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor does it constitute investment recommendation or legal, tax, accounting, or investment advice by HedgeEye or any of its employees, officers, agents, or guests. This information is presented without regard for individual investment preferences or risk parameters and is general, non-tailored, non-specific information. This content is based on information from sources believed to be reliable. HedgeEye is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information. The opinions and conclusions contained in this report are those of the individual expressing those opinions and conclusions and are intended solely for the use of HedgeEye subscribers and the authorized recipients of the content. All investments entail a certain degree of risk, and financial instrument prices can fluctuate based on several factors, including those not considered in the preparation of the content. Consult your financial professional before investing. The information contained herein is protected by United States and foreign copyright laws and is intended solely for the use of its authorized recipient. Access must be provided directly by HedgeEye. Redistribution or republication is strictly prohibited. For more detail, please refer to the terms of service at hedgeeye.com/terms of service.